This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let us go now around the NFL on what was also still a very fun NFL Sunday that we had yesterday. Obviously, your Texans get a victory 20-10, but other things were happening as well. Actually, this happened early on a Reaction Monday of sorts. I don't think this is a reaction to the game in any way, but how did you like seeing this, that tight end Brevin Jordan is signing a one-year deal through the 2026 season. So he will be back once again, kind of re-upped on that contract that he was supposed to have this year.
I'm kind of glad that happened a little bit, man, because last year or this year was supposed to be a prove-it year. He got hurt, and I thought he was just going to have to go somewhere else, but it looked like they really got a lot of faith in him, and they want to give him that chance to prove it again.
Just a matter of staying healthy. I don't mind it. You know, his is one of those stories of, like, in the NFL, there are a lot of Brevin Jordans out there that we never heard about.
Yeah.
You know, that never quite, because he's good.
Just bad injuries at the wrong time and don't really have that prove-it deal. But I'm glad the Texans are doing this to kind of give them that chance
again. You talk about it all the time, crash car sport, you know, or car crash sport. And there's a lot of victims. There's a lot of victims.
There absolutely are. Yeah. Remember, it was a torn patellar tendon that happened during camp. Mm-hmm. And apparently, according to Aaron Wilson, the rehab is going great as of right now. But he's on track for next season. I will say, and of course, I'm willing very much to put whatever this thought is well behind me until we get the chance to see him. Mm-hmm. He's supposed to be in a trio of Dalton Schultz, big body blocking Cade Stover, and Brevin Jordan. He's supposed to be the speed guy. I do wonder what does that speed look like when he returns?
No, that is more than fair because
and athleticism, right? It's not just speed.
A lot of lower body injuries, and he's that guy. Yeah,
yeah. But thankfully, I'm excited to see him once again, just because of the dude. Like, you talk to Brevin Jordan, and you're like, you want him to win, and that's one of the things that's kind of amazing about what this Texas team is doing right now, because you could look at the defense in particular, and we're all gushing over Petrie, Lane, Lumber, and all this physicality. They are a group of some of the nicest dudes in all the NFL. Like, they very much do the, we want to make sure we have the right kind of guy in the building, and that they don't sacrifice a thing when it comes to being football tough and scary and swarmy, all those things.
A big part of last night's win was the culture. Yeah, it's not going to make any headlines, but that's what ultimately led to the guys that were out there.
The Texans will also benefit as we continue around the NFL in a draft pick type of way, because their second round pick, not their own, but the one that they have and they acquired in trading away Laremy Tunsil, continues to get better and better as the Washington Commanders were skunked. They got zeroed out against the Minnesota Vikings. I'm talking about J.J. McCarthy 3-touchdown game. Versus the Commanders. And I think the most notable thing is that Jayden Daniels was taken out in this game after he was it an interception? I believe it was an interception. Mm-hmm. and he's trying to track back, and he just gets shoved into the dirt. His non-throwing shoulder hits the ground, and apparently that was all Dan Quinn needed to see. Dan Quinn pulls his starting quarterback just because he feels like the game is just out of hand.
Yeah.
It's not going the right way, and it's not worth it. Do you agree with a head coach doing that in the sport that we call football?
I think I do, only because we don't know what the pain level was. You know, it's already being affected. He's already being affected. It was kind of out of their hands. And you know what? I like it because the Texans, do they have a top five pick right now? I believe they do.
What, in the second round?
Yeah.
It would currently be sixth in the second round. Mm-hmm. So what, I don't remember what my math is, 38.
Yeah,
but not bad for another pick. And we know it's not even guaranteed that they take that one, right? It could very much move around.
Yeah.
So the Texans getting a better look at that one. But also, I think that this is – and look, injury is always a weird time to try and bring this up, because I'm not trying to, like, dance on nobody's grave metaphorically or whatever. However, the crowning and the coronation of Jayden Daniels as the next best rookie season of all, like, here you go with year two and the downs of it as well.
We are familiar with that. But I don't think they have much to worry about with him, but I thought that was the right move.
Oh, yeah. And from the 713, did you see the hit on Zach Ertz? I completely forgot that.
Oh, boy. I don't want to see it again.
Because I'm a little squeamish when it comes to injuries, like even just the hyperextension. I'm like, I don't really want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And his knee was bending the wrong way. In a different plane of direction.
A lot.
Yeah.
A lot the wrong way.
We are done here with Zach Ertz. Are we not? He's 35, I believe.
Yeah. That was brutally, brutally bad.
And to be fair to Zach Ertz, that is a player that was able to ring out probably about 3 or 4 years that I didn't think he had anymore. Mm-hmm. When he went to Arizona away from Philadelphia, it looked like you were getting a significantly less good, for lack of a better, a more eloquent way of saying it, less good version of a tight end.
Yeah.
He was fine. He was one of those elite tight ends when he was in Philly. They move on to Dallas Goedert, and you go, he was one of those tight ends that you need to draft in fantasy football, because there's usually like a handful of them. Mm-hmm. And he stopped being that, and I was like, oh, okay, this is done here.
Yeah.
He managed to ring out some more years, but this one feels like this could be done for him.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Which is really, really sad to see of that. Some other things around the NFL. Cincinnati just couldn't help the Texans out, could they?
That was the one, right? That was the one they had total control of this. They had control of this game until they did some very uncharacteristic things.
Some wonky stuff, man.
Very uncharacteristic. Wonky is the right word.
I mean, Joe Burrow with this offense is a menace. Mm-hmm. I mean, this game got to the place where, what was the score? 28-18 for the Bengals early on in the fourth quarter. They were doing a great job of scoring. And really, the defense was showing up enough, not necessarily linear, but enough.
Yeah.
And then the Buffalo Bills rattle off 3 touchdowns in the span of, what is that, about 4 minutes?
And that interception that clinched it for Buffalo, that was so unlike Joe Burrow. You know, he's not necessarily the gunsling. Like, you could see Patrick Mahomes throwing that interception. You know, just trying to make a play, trying to shot put it, because he did. He just kind of shot putted the ball. But not Joe Burrow, but that was the ball game.
Can I give you a statistic from this game?
What's that?
What do you think the Bengals went on third down percentage wise? Just give me random guess at percentage wise that you think that they were on third down.
30
on 12 third downs. They converted 10 of them. this is cartoonish now. The Cincinnati Bengals, just the offense is a howitzer and the defense is a water pistol.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just continues to be that. Obviously, you got to give credit to the Buffalo Bills standing up when standing up needed to happen. The Bills still look really good against everybody, not named the Houston Texans.
Yeah. That's again, we said that earlier. You know, all you need to know about the Texans defense is what the Bills have done before and after facing the Texans.
Yeah. I think that for me, I just keep looking at the Cincinnati thing and I just go, one, it feels like Zach Taylor's definitely going to be looking for work, right? He might need to fire up the old CV, as the Brits would call it, get that situated. But I keep asking, how viable is what Cincinnati is doing?
We're getting the answer. We're getting the answer in living color. That's a game they should have won.
Do they need to give up one of those wide receivers in order to help them actually do this in a more balanced way?
They didn't pay either. They didn't pay their guys on defense either.
No.
Yeah, so.
No. All right. Some
Steelers are still around.
The Steelers are still around. I'm glad you made
mention
of this.
Mike Tomlin for you, man.
He's got nine
As soon as
lives.
The noise started getting a little loud, he won a game and ended up over 500.
Did this game make you feel good about anyone? The Steelers get a 27-22 win over the Ravens. Ravens had a couple of instances where they had an opportunity to try and drive and win, and they just couldn't. Mm-hmm. There was a touchdown that was overturned by Isaiah Likely that has been real questionable around the league. But I'll ask the question again. Did this game make you feel good about anybody?
No, I'm not in terms of good. I'm not scared of the Steelers, if that's what you're asking.
I guess. I guess in a roundabout way, that's a good enough answer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was just. I don't want to see any of the AFC North.
And the Ravens are done, right?
It feels like it. Mm-hmm. At this point, where are they falling now in the grand scheme of things? Mm-hmm. Again, I believe the Ravens currently 6-7, along with the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah. They still have a path through the AFC North because nobody is running away with that. But yeah, the Steelers are 7-6 in that space. So yeah, it's nasty. I love getting a chance to now be on the side where I look at a division winner and go, should we really let all the division winners in?
Well, should we? That's a common question.
Should we let the pores over there in the AFC North? Should we let them in the
don't
club?
Be peacocking too much, man, because look at our division a couple years ago, man.
That's what I was, that was
years
the joke.
Ago, how about every year?
Yeah.
That was absolutely the joke I was making, but yes.
11 a.m. on Saturday. Yeah. Well, by the way, you think the Texans are good enough defensively? They won't play the 11 a.m. game on Saturday?
This defense or noon, draws or enough attention that I think they the defense being of all world might be able to get the Texans out of the Saturday slot. Of course, write this down when I'm eventually wrong and the honorary Texans spot does hit in the way that it was supposed to be. The Ravens win out. They win the division via tiebreak. Thank you, 2-8-1.
Just think about this for a second, though. The Ravens and Chiefs have the same record as the Dolphins.
Hey, you say that with that derisive tone?
Yeah, I did.
Hey, man.
I did.
The Dolphins are still playing for that.
They're still playing.
I think that coach remains next year, and I think that they remain kind of like a pseudo-interesting team, like in that same like middle space where they could be in the hunt for the playoffs next year. It's weird to say, but I do look at them and I go, hey, all that drama that was happening earlier.
They've been interesting.
They've won four in a row.
They've been interesting, if nothing else.
They've won four games in a row. Yeah. Talk about a team that does not have a winning streak at all.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell are the Cleveland Browns doing?
Oh, man, I forgot. That's what I wanted to get to right away. So what is the situation with Stefanski and Shedeur Sanders?
Well, Stefanski is a dead man walking, and he clearly had – well, actually, I think it's true to say that he clearly has at least a professional distaste for Shedeur Sanders as a quarterback. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair to say. I don't need to take it to the place of personal. I don't want to take it to a place of personal, but that's clearly not his cup of tea at quarterback. And it is interesting to say that because Shedeur Sanders had himself a game, Bubba. He had himself a game. Shedeur Sanders on the day versus the Tennessee Titans. 23 of 42, 364 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception, including getting them in a place to score a touchdown and with an opportunity to tie this football game. And at which point, the Browns decide, and Kevin Stefanski is the decision maker, decides to go, well, 1-for-2 because they need to tie the game, but goes with a Quinshon Judkins wildcat with an additional running back in the backfield, like, and fake reverse play. I can't even accurately describe it, but it fails miserably. What was your reaction to seeing this 2-point conversion?
You talk about Stefanski. To me, it's as simple as this. I think this is a classic case of ego. Two guys that are in charge of the Browns that wanted two different quarterbacks. I don't think this was as simple as and his explanation after the game was just awful. Trying to explain.
You want
to
hear it?
Let's hear it.
This is stuff Kevin Stefanski, where the media was pressing him on what happened on that 2-point conversion.
What's supposed to happen on that last 2-point conversion?
Yeah, not going to get into all the specifics, Jeff, but obviously it did not go as we thought it would.
Did you make that call or did Tommy?
Yeah, I make every call. I make every call.
I mean, I think this is Stefanski. Shedeur Sanders is not Stefanski's guy, and he's just, I'll show you. I think ego is a big part of this.
I'm not sure if I actually. I mean, think that but this particular instance, I don't think that this is what came in.
I think right here, because he did the same thing earlier in the game too. Just that wildcat. They kind of been doing it all season.
Mm-hmm.
But my thing is, Shedeur was kind of hot, man. Mm-hmm. He was kind of hot, and I think leaving them on the field is a threat. And so you take him off the field.
Exactly.
And everybody know what you about to do mm-hmm. when you in a wildcat like that. So that, to me, I just didn't understand that. Like, I get it early on in the game.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, when the game is on the line, you got to have your quarterback on the field.
And, like that, and that quarterback, the way he's playing. And I don't think it's necessarily like in the – I think it's just been – if you go back to the preseason and the draft and even further and – how they've handled Shadur the whole season. I think this has all the markings of that's not my guy, it's your guy, and I want my guys.
I strongly agree with that. Yeah. I think in this moment, there is a place to bash, I guess, for lack of a better term, Stefanski. I think it is more just as a play caller, period, than it is about Shadur himself.
Well, then he overthought it or did the wrong thing.
Agreed.
And this is the other thing too. He gave up play calling.
Mm-hmm.
So his offensive coordinator, I think it's Tommy Reese, is calling the plays. And right there, I feel like he probably just took the bullet for him. Maybe he said, hey, I'm fine with the play call or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think right there he kind of took the bullet
for him. But I think also it's his decision to get him off the field or not.
I agree.
It's like D'Amico Ryans doesn't call the defensive plays. But I think he would say, what do you mean you don't want Will Anderson on the field on third and eight?
He's a head coach, so I think he'd probably veto that play if he wasn't comfortable with it.
I think that there was a number of players in that locker room that were defensive of it, saying that, hey, man, we've run, like, this is one of our 2-point plays. Mm-hmm. We've run this a lot. And I would agree with, in that moment, you need your best 2-point play, call it. I just feel like you probably should have a 2-point play that threatens to throw the football.
Yeah, I think you just can't take a quarterback off the field like that, especially the way he been playing. And then, by the way, he did rush for a touchdown.
Yes, he did. Yeah. Four touchdowns total.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes. Speaking of Shador Sanders, this is what he had to say about the circumstance.
I was thankful that I was driving down the field and we scored.
Did you wish you had the ball in your hand in that moment to tie the game?
If I'm out there any play, I would wish I would always have the ball in my hand, but that's not what football is. Sometimes you got to run the ball. Sometimes you got to kick a field goal. Everything. That's the game. That's the game. That's the most important thing is the ball. So in any situation, of course you would want to, but I know we practiced something and we executed it in practice and we just didn't seem to this day. So I would never go against, kind of like what the call was.
If I'm out there, I want the ball. If I'm out there, I want the ball. And by the way, this is growth for him because I kind of fully expected him to say, well,
I don't even know what that'd be born out of because I think he's largely given the right answers.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He kind of does it with that smile. Yeah. Like he's 60% of his pops, right?
Yeah, the thing is, he's not like a robot when it comes to players talking to the media I feel like some players have a script where they just say the same thing where you be like, all right, he ain't giving us no answer.
Right.
He's not really going by that script,
mm-hmm.
but he's giving his honest political answer.
Yeah.
He sounds just like his dad too, man.
He does. Goodness. He does sound like his pops. And so happy trails as we round up around the NFL. We mentioned a couple of these teams, but the Commanders, the Jets, the Falcons, and now the Browns have been eliminated from playoff contention.
Man, they ain't in the hunt no more.
Nah, not nearly in the hunt. And I see you, AZ Storm Walding, on the YouTube. We assume that the Cleveland Browns wanted to win. Is it possible? Secret tank?
I don't.
I could kind of see it.
I'm doubting myself.
I could kind of see it because, look, man,
three and ten.
Yeah. Hey, they took a long time to push the door out there anyway. And I don't think they thought he was going to be balling like this where they give him a chance to win.
Yeah.
I could kind of see it.
The number four pick as of right now, Secret
mm-hmm.
Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Secret Tank for the Cleveland Browns. But yes, they joined the Falcons, Jets, and Commanders as no longer competing for postseason football. Can't say that about the Houston Texans, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can't say that about the Houston Texans, not one bit. Happy Victory Reaction Monday here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. That's how we go around the NFL. Coming up next, I want to talk about something that really shocked me. We talked about the possibility of the matchup within this game and the matchup between coaches. And I don't know if he was the worst in this game, but he definitely made the worst decision. I kind of want to talk about Andy Reid. Let's do it next.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mahomes in the gun. Three receivers right. Mahomes to throw. Mahomes in trouble. Will Anderson gets there. A throw over the middle. Incomplete. They wanted Rice. Couldn't do it. And the Texans turn them over on downs. The Texans already in field goal range. The Chiefs gamble, and it does not pay off thanks to the Texans' pressure.
Already in field goal range. That's right.
They were.
A huge inflection point in a 20-10 victory for your Houston Texans that takes them to 8-5, puts them officially in the playoff a slot right now. I think the seventh seed is what they would be if the season were to end today. You slay the dragon that is the Kansas City Chiefs. You had lost the prior five games to the Kansas City Chiefs. Yeah, I mean, do I have to keep rattling off, unfurling the scroll of the various things that last night represented? It was huge. But in one of the ways that I did not anticipate, it also showed us or gave us a moment in which I look at Andy Reid and I go, you had the worst coaching moment in this game.
Of the season.
Okay. You're going of their season?
I mean, their playoff lives were on the line. And this is the Chiefs.
And I tell you what, Chris Jones was playing like it.
Oh, my gosh.
That was a playoff game.
There was only one dude tickling tonsils on that Chiefs team.
Buddy.
And that was Chris Jones.
Yeah, Andy. I will say.
He had that team on his back.
Yes, he did.
And that's a team with Patrick Mahomes. Yes.
If you talk about moments or instances where you go, ooh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. It was in the third quarter when Chris Jones is just feasting on this offensive line.
Four straight plays?
He was
four straight plays. It felt like 12 people was blitzing.
It was more than that. Like Chris, it was
no. I mean, four consecutive where it was either a sack, a tip ball, or a pressure that made.
Yeah,
the play.
Yeah, he was always right there.
Yeah,
it was one of the disconcerting things about this game is that we had started getting to a place where, like, huh, offensive line can hold water. Ed Ingram, who I think you could reasonably say has been the best offensive lineman of these offensive linemen. He was out there getting his ass taxed by Chris Jones. I'm talking about Chris Jones was whooping his ass.
Yes. But I want to talk about Andy Reid.
Okay.
Because I think there's a bigger story in play here. I'm not saying that you're wrong if you're in the, you know, the camp of, boy, he choked. He panicked. Desperation move. worst, I think it was the worst coaching decision of the season, considering the context of what the Chiefs were facing and all that.
And I had to give him a little bit of credit because I did go and find the stat that they coming into this game were 21 of 26 on fourth down. Like that's just something that they expect themselves to be able to do. Yeah. Not against this Texas defense, though. Can I give a moment? Because I know you're holding on to a thought and I feel like a jerk that I'm delaying it.
That's all right.
But
we got time.
Can we give Derek Stingley a lot of credit there?
Oh, because was he playing last night?
Derek Stingley.
Never heard his name, never saw him.
Derek Stingley had to fight through. That's a matchup zone. And Chris Collinsworth calls it a zone. He has to fight through traffic to get to that play and make a pass breakup on a quick in-breaker, and he does. Like, he just closes that distance in an instant through bodies. What an incredible play on that fourth
down. Yeah, he was just, I mean, he takes away the whole side of the field sometimes. And when you do test him, like in that case, he makes a play. But on Andy Reid, he over the years in a previous iteration of Andy Reid, he would be criticized for game management and such.
Without question. But clock management in particular.
Clock management, thank you. But not this. Not an absolute choke on your, what was it, 31-yard line or whatever?
31, yes.
Yeah, 31-yard line with the game on the line. You don't make that play. He panicked. He choked. He was desperate. I want to get into the why.
Oh, I love this because I think the why matters here.
I want to get into the why because, yes, all of that is true. He cost that game and by extension, the season of the Chiefs. But Chris Collinsworth was talking on TV.
Boy, was he talking.
We're not getting into that part of it.
Okay, my bad. Sorry.
He was talking about TV like, well, he's an offensive-minded coach and that's just the way he's wired and that's probably why. No, man. I think he went for that because that was like, desperation mode. I got to find something against this defense. I think the Texans defense had as much to do with that. Yes, they were hard to move the ball on. It was fourth and just about a yard and a half.
It was a long one. Yeah, fourth and a long one.
Yeah. I think
they went empty.
I think the Texans defense got in Andy Reid's head and they basically, you know, he was thinking, I've got to go for it. I don't know if we're going to be able to move the ball against this team. It's fourth and one. Let's roll the dice. And he rolled the dice. Yes, it was an awful decision. I'm giving the Texans credit on this.
With this holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Total, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Reign. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Without question, yeah. I think also, like, the Texans defense deserves credit. I think why it's such a bad decision is the Texans offense. The Texans offense was atrocious in the third quarter. We can't ignore that. I don't think anybody's invested in ignoring it.
Yes, we can.
No, we can't. No, we can't.
Let's talk about it on Thursday or something, man.
Not even tomorrow? Yeah, Thursday? Man. I got to wait till Thursday, Finn. Yeah, man. Word. That's crazy. Mm-hmm. No, they were terrible. And they were terrible because in juxtaposition, the first quarter they looked really good. Mm-hmm. Right? They were doing a great job moving around CJ Stroud, making some plays out of structure on top of getting the ball to the right places in structure. I thought that was very good. And you got to give Nick Caley some credit in that first quarter that they were doing things. In that third quarter, or the first half rather, in the third quarter, because Chris Jones was blowing things up, even Carl Loftus was getting involved, who had not been playing all that well. Mm-hmm. Your offensive line was a little bit leakier, and you were getting into places where all your routes were still downfield. It's one of those things that we talk about with Nick Caley, where we go, "Hey man, can you give some easy buttons?" And I will give him a little bit of credit. There were screens and stuff that were entirely blown up because the Chiefs were also very smart in getting their hands up. Right, once they were, you know, stopped at the line of scrimmage, they would get their hands up and make it so that CJ, the quick passes were hard to do. So he had to float the ball, try and get it over the line, but also try and get it to his guys in space. Like, clearly that messed things up. But I think that is another reason why Andy Reid not punting the ball and saying, this defense is on Nick Caley and this offense is ass. We don't keep putting them in that place. Going for it there, missing it, and putting the Texans on the 31, restarted the offense just far enough for them to finish the game. Because I think at that point, the Texans hadn't been running the ball well at all. They've been getting stuffed. And then they're in the shadow of a field goal. They know that they can do that. Mm-hmm. And then they start getting 3 yards, 3 yards, 3 yards. Enough for them to ultimately get a touchdown.
And by the way, CJ Stroud, a Mahomes play to avoid what could have been catastrophic sack.
Absolutely.
And pushed them out of field goal range. Give CJ Stroud credit on that. But to your point, you're absolutely right. Those are all things that Andy Reid should have thought about.
100%.
Hey, our defense is doing great. They're not really doing a whole lot on offense. Let's punt the ball and get another chance. But again, I'll go back to the same question. Why didn't he do that? Because we got fourth and one. Obviously he believes in Patrick Mahomes, and he was out of sorts. Why was he out of sorts? Because of this Texans defense. And let's extend it. Mahomes was 0-for in the fourth quarter with two interceptions. Travis Kelce was seeing ghosts. The receivers were crumbling and alligator arming stuff and missing easy receptions, that maybe were a little bit off target, as they pointed out, but receptions that they easily could have made. Andy Reid, the Texans defense got in Andy Reid's head and he got desperate. I think, yes, it was stupid, but there was a reason for it, and it was the Texans defense.
It was desperation or arrogance.
Yeah.
It was desperation or arrogance in that moment. Either way, it served them terrible in. I go back to Reggie on Friday, and I was looking, and I go, oof, I'm a little afraid of the coaching matchup in this. D'Amico Ryans, I think rightfully, and maybe jokingly, right, to be fair, seeding that, hey, man, I'm not anticipating matching wits with Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. I feel like the end of the first half still had some problems for the Texans.
We'll get to that. We got passing thoughts coming.
But, like, when all is said and done, I don't know if Andy Reid was inherently, like, the worst, decision maker all the way around, but he absolutely made the worst decision of this game.
It was
without question.
That we can agree upon. I think everyone would agree upon. He cost them the game and the season by extension. With that, I just feel like when your offense has been struggling so much against a defense that is just destroying you, you see that 1 yard and you say, "Well, now's our shot. We got to do it." And then maybe we get lucky and make another big play.
Yeah, he decided to be aggressive there. Mm-hmm. And I will say I appreciate it because again, I sincerely believe that your ability to jumpstart the run, even though the run didn't like come back to being fantastic, was because you're in that place where you can have some confidence. Guys, just go out here, be aggressive. You don't have to worry about too much about losing yardage. You're in field goal range already. And so I think that allowed the run game to start picking up, and they stopped having three and outs at that point. Like, at that point, it was like, all right, well, we can go move the football. We can go score a touchdown that then puts you up.
and then changes the game script back, right? It goes from a 10-10 game to a 17-10 game and applies even more pressure.
Yeah.
Right? That's one of the things we've talked about a ton this season is if the offense can do enough to apply game script pressure to the other team, the defense goes to another level than they did.
And the Chiefs' defense lost a little gas, too. You know, but when they all of a sudden had to take the field on the 31-yard line.
Yeah, that's a four-play because they had previously in the third quarter, 8-play drive, 7-play drive, 7-play drive. Then the defense gets – they get the ball after three because of an interception. They get the ball after four because of a fourth down stop. Then the next one, you get another fourth down stop. Again, credit to the defense. Defense was having to get on the field more, and then you could wear them down. And that's how the game was won, in my estimation. So shout out to Andy Reid making that gambling decision. He does gamble on his offense. That is fair. But in that moment, you had to have the situation, and I think he made the wrong situational decision. And that's the thing. This Texans defense, to your credit, the Texans defense changes the calculus in NFL football.
Yeah,
that is probably the biggest credit you can give to the Texans defense. What you think?
I thought that was the biggest testament to how great they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
What you think is your typical MO? Has to change because the Houston Texans defense is on the field, and that happened last night. 20-10 victory.
Swarm City, baby.
Swarm City. Swarm City. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say the last word. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get into what's popping here on a Monday. And the Rockets played over this weekend. I think they're developing a little bit of an issue. Let's talk about that. And we've got some we have a new Hall of Famer that was elected for induction. We'll talk about all that next. All right, plenty of ground to cover here as we get into what's popping on this Monday. So let's see if we can cover it. Shout out to former Astro second baseman Jeff Kent, who via the ERA committee of the Hall of Fame voters was elected for Hall of Fame induction. Five-time All-Star. He was an MVP as well. He will go into the Hall of Fame, but clearly he's not going in as an Astro.
No, I don't think he's going in as an Astro, but he had some terrific moments as an Astro. None bigger than the walk-off home run. Was it game four? I believe in 2004. But I could be wrong on that. But I was really happy with Jeff Kent getting in. I mean, I always thought even as an MVP, he was one of those guys that just never quite was put in at the level that he should have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 100%. Just power, defense, durability, all of it. I was really happy with him.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of his best years are probably with the Giants, but yeah, you made a great point in that he still gave you some really good moments as an Astro. So it's one of those guys. Also, I feel like pretty good guy, you know? So like I feel like you can't be too mad at his inclusion, and yeah, so he gets in.
I think he lives down here now.
Oh, does he now?
Well, south. I mean, he's got a big ranch.
Oh, well, yeah. This is the place to be then, right?
This is the place to be.
I love that Texas does this where no matter where you play in your career, if you played in Texas at some point, likelihood is you make it your home in Texas.
Home.
Yeah.
you will make your home here.
He's got a big old South Texas afterwards. Ranch.
I hate this portion of it, though. I would love to just stop and be like, salute to Jeff Kent. Let's have all the Jeff Kent moments.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is this is always going to be about the second portion of the story,
yep.
Which is that another Houston tie, Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, including I think also Don Mattingly, and we're talking in this era or this committee that puts players in, were not elected. And Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens did not get the requisite votes to still be in consideration, so they'll be off of the voting ballot, I think, till 2031. That's the earliest that they can make the Hall again.
I don't understand it. There are some that have the track record that those guys have had that are in or have been or will be in, and yet those two don't. I guess being the face of a particular era doesn't pay.
It's kind of wild that Don Mattingly has had such a hard time getting in.
I think his is more, you know, Hall of Very Good versus Hall of Fame argument than anything, but I think he should be in.
Yeah, I mean, I think the name rings really large, which maybe is affecting me personally. But yeah, and shout out to the text line saying, doesn't his kid play for Texas A&M? Apparently, he does. Caden Kent.
Yeah, hit a walk off home run in the regional.
Yeah, did not keep that in mind. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I thought AJ Pierzynski had a very interesting take on this. You know, he works for foul territory. They do a good job covering baseball. He said, as a guy that played against the guys in that era, he thinks that if you had anything prior to 05, I think, he thinks you should get in. Like, that was the time period, at least the line of demarcation that he leveled as the time where they were like, hey, this is actually against the rules of baseball.
Yeah.
Because he makes the case that before that it was illegal, but not against baseball rules in all technicality.
Yeah, 98 is the infamous one.
Yeah,
you know, obviously with McGuire and Sosa and all that. I don't mind that take. I will say the only argument against it, and I think they both should be in. By the way, I'm just saying.
Strong agree.
I'm just saying the argument against it is if you find that line of demarcation where it was clear they were sort of not quite the Hall of Fame stature, and then all of a sudden regained it. I mean, what does that mean, you know, in terms of your numbers and such? In these two cases, I don't think it should matter at all.
Well, one thing I can tell you.
For some players, it does.
Yeah, for some players, it does. Barry Bonds was a Hall of Famer before,
no matter what.
Before we even got close to him doing the juicy juice. Roger Clemens, a little bit dicier for me because I know we have a clear line of demarcation with Barry Bonds in an interesting way, and he was a Hall of Famer prior to them. But yes, it's kind of a sadness that they don't get him. But again, salute to Jeff Kent, who does get the honor. He'll be inducted in the summer. All right, some other things. That were popping. The Rockets had back-to-back this weekend. Friday, they face off against the Phoenix Suns, and they do what they're supposed to do. They put the Suns in the dirt. Now, to be fair, no Devin Booker, no Jalen Green in that, and they're, you know, Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks' return to Toyota Center, but no problem. They handled it up very well. And I think the story on that night, Kevin Durant reaches 31,000 points. He's the eighth player to do it in NBA history, and he is tracking down Wilt Chamberlain for, I think, oh man, I can't remember, what was that, sixth most?
I was going to say fourth. It's somewhere in there.
On the all-time scoring list.
Yeah.
It's kind of incredible. I think he has something like 400 points to go to get there. Mm-hmm. Likelihood is we get to see Kevin Durant take another step when it comes to scoring all-time.
We do, but the back-to-back thing is what you were talking about, and I we'll dig into this more tomorrow. Obviously, there's so much Texans to talk today and other things, but I do feel... The whole Steven Adams thing is going to be interesting all year long. The whole back-to-back thing is going to be interesting all year long. And does it cost them?
Yeah, because on the second night of the back-to-back, they went to Dallas, a Dallas team that has not been particularly good. And they lost pretty convincingly, 122 to 109. No Steven Adams, no Alperen Şengün. And I think that made a big, big difference. In addition to the fact that they just they were so sloppy with the basketball, which I also still think ties in.
Keep in mind, in the Phoenix game, they were sloppy in the first half.
True.
I mean, there was a lot of turnovers, just something to monitor.
Yeah, if you need a programming note, tomorrow we will be talking about the second nights of back-to-back for the Rockets, because the two times that they've had them this year, the fewest of anyone in the league, they've lost the back half of that. So I think that there's something there. Some other things that are popping. We have a college football playoff field, and buddy, one thing I say about college football, it is stupid, and I mean that as a good thing in a way. At least it's entertaining, but you can't take the stupidity out of college football. The college football playoff committee, they did themselves a disservice in this.
They did, but I don't know if I want to say this or not. Notre Dame skipping its bowl game is the big headline. I'm not so sure that people are understanding everything that went into and goes into teams skipping their bowl game after.
Notre Dame?
Yeah, with Notre Dame and others.
Because I know K-State and Iowa State both are skipping their bowl game. They actually are fined $500,000 apiece by the Big 12 for skipping their bowl games. Yeah. But I think that in both of those cases, they have a coaching change very late in the game, and they're going to be in bowl games that, let's face it, not the most prestigious. I do wonder if it was worth their while all the way around monetarily. Notre Dame was going to be in a big bowl game.
Notre Dame was going to be in a big bowl game.
This was
the
take my ball and go home move.
Yeah, well, it's both, and that's where I was going with this.
Okay.
I think Notre Dame is pouting because, we're Notre Dame. I do think that's a factor. I also think in this era, people are saying, well, that's the end of the college football playoff as we know it. I hope it changes how they pick them, but I hope it doesn't change in terms of number of teams that get in or whatever, because they do need to change how they're doing things. People are forgetting the transfer portal affects so many coaches these days and so many teams these days. You know, it's Notre Dame maybe wanting, you know, to be in the playoff and pouting about it. But I think there's other factors as well. Like, are you gonna put a team out there? We see it every year now. You know, a team that comes to the Texas Bowl, which, by the way, shout out, you know, to U of H and LSU.
Great Texas Bowl. I'll talk about some more of the Houston area teams in bowl games.
We see bowl game after bowl game after bowl game. We're like, well, they're missing seven starters who are sitting out. I think that's a factor too.
I think there's value in jump-starting your season. It used to be that the bowl game was valuable because
it's extra
you get
practice.
More weeks of practice, and you get another game, especially in a kind of a good way of getting some of those guys who maybe next year will step into roles.
That's why I'm saying
into those roles early.
I think it's both those things that are factors.
Yeah.
Yes, because there's value and they should have played in the game for all those reasons that you're talking about. But I also think they are pouting a little bit, but they're also like, man, we're just going
to
be a show.
Sean, get your boys.
Yeah.
Tell them to quit pouting. All right. Some bowl games that are worth noting. First and foremost, in the college football playoff, shout out to the team that you are wearing across your chest right now, Texas A&M.
Yeah.
They got what is probably a very unfun path.
They have the toughest path.
Courtesy of the college football playoff committee, ultimately deciding that, hey, we messed up by putting Notre Dame over Miami earlier. Again, I will dig deeper into that college football on a Tuesday, but I told y'all. I told y'all that they just be doing anything. Miami will be the number 10 seed, and they will go to Kyle Field as Texas A&M hosts the first round game December 20th. And then if they win that, they have an opportunity to play who?
Ohio State. So, okay, so hear me out.
Figgy! Hey, Fig!
The Aggies have the toughest path to get to a national championship. By the way, Indiana has the easiest, and they should. But the Aggies, if they can beat Miami.
We forgot to talk about the championship games.
Oh, my gosh. If they can beat Miami, all they have is Ohio State in, I believe, the Cotton Bowl. If they can beat Ohio State, all they have is probably Georgia, wherever that's going to be.
In the semi?
Yeah. And if they can beat Georgia, then all they have is probably Indiana in the championship game.
And while we're here, let's go ahead and talk about the Big Ten championship game because, oh my goodness,
yeah.
Figgy, you can close your ears if you don't.
Oh, no, it's all good.
Mm-hmm. Indiana, like real deal. And I think I had gotten there, but I had a friend who very much hadn't, and he was like, "I guess we're gonna see today." And we saw very quickly that team is nails.
What do the kids like to say? Grown man football.
Yeah,
that's what they play.
Yeah,
they play grown ass man football. And they deserve it. I wasn't a big fan of the post-game interview with Fernando Mendoza.
We'll bring that back around when we get to winners and losers of the weekend because I think that very much factors in.
What is going on with that guy?
All right, let me run off some more of these bowl games. Another team that will be in the college football playoff. Shout out to the Texas Tech Red Raiders also showing their wares, beating BYU the way that they tougher than the way that they beat them in the regular season to win the Big 12 championship game. There in Arlington, I thought it'd be really wild if they could get the Cotton Bowl and then play again in Arlington and have
the
home advantage.
That.
They didn't have it, but they'll be the number 4 seed. They'll have the bye. They'll have a bye in the first round. So unfortunately, Jones AT&T Stadium will not host a game. However, because that would have been fun, but they will have the bye and they'll face the winner of James Madison or Oregon in the Orange Bowl on New Year's Day.
If I had to bet on a team. And obviously I hope the Aggies do it, but if I had to bet on a team to win the national championship, not named Ohio State or Indiana, it would be Texas Tech.
The physicality that they demonstrated again is there. Quarterback is pretty good player. I mean, defense is fantastic. Best linebacker in the nation, so on and so forth. And, I think Oregon, who will beat the mess out of James Madison. I am happy that Duke did the thing, though. I told you, I wanted chaos.
Oh, yeah.
Game of chaos.
Oh, yeah.
But Oregon is going to smash.
Their asses, too.
It wasn't even just like they happened to win. They were the better team in that ACC championship game. But Oregon will be a good test of that physicality, but I think Texas Tech is game. Some of the other bowl games, you'll have Prairie View A&M and the Cricket Wireless Celebration Bowl.
Man, I was happy for that. I ended up watching a lot of this game.
The Prairie View
the
Jackson
Panthers,
State game that happened. Shout out to Prairie View. They'll be playing on December 13th. So this Saturday, the Texas Bowl, as you mentioned, LSU-UH, is going to be a fun Texas Bowl game. Not to say that they aren't always, but this one's going to be really good. Citrus Bowl, Wednesday on New Year's Eve, 2 p.m., Texas-Michigan is going to be a fun football game.
The Cheez-It Bowl.
It's the Cheez-It Bowl. That's the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. There's a Cheez-It Bowl and there's a Citrus Bowl.
I just like to say Cheez-It.
But they're different bowls, Lopez. You got to make sure you get that right. And then the Armed Forces Bowl will have the Rice Owls, courtesy of a whole bunch of teams that were eligible. I don't think that's what they say.
It is.
Is it? Oh, my bad.
It is.
I thought you messed around. The Rice versus Texas State. We didn't even talk about the World Cup groups being set for Houston
either. I am so excited.
You're going to have Portugal will have an opportunity to play here, so you'll
see Cristiano Ronaldo, man.
That'll be fun. I'm personally looking for Diego Dalo. I know nobody actually believes that. Germany and the Netherlands, all going to be nations that will ply their trade at what they will call Houston Stadium, but of course it's NRG Stadium.
To the best environments you will ever see in international soccer are usually brought to you by Germany and the Netherlands. I mean, it is. If you have any chance at all, even just to get down to wherever the gathering, I'm guessing downtown.
There's going
to
be a few gathering places, I'm sure.
You got to go. Even if you're not going to the game, you got to go. The Netherlands, Germany, and if you do go to a game, you get to see one of the greatest players in the history of the game, Cristiano Ronaldo, right here.
we managed to do it. There's a lot of things that we hit there. We will dig deeper into it. I see some of y'all trying to disparage James Madison, and not on my airwaves, not why I got him. We'll talk about that tomorrow on College Football on a Tuesday. But coming up next, let's return to this game where I feel like we need to give some flowers. There's more things to talk about, a ton of things to talk about in this game, but I would like to talk about the best performers in this game because there's a few of them that need a little bit of love. Let's talk about who hooped next.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.